I was listening to some songs on the radio, and it's amazing. Seems like when you need it the most, there'll be a song come on that just seems to be saying what you really need to hear at that time, and just uplifts you. And then I've listened to them later and wonder, well, why did it make that much difference? But at the time that you needed it, God sent what you needed. And, you know, I'm afraid today, it really makes me feel good and encouraged to hear the testimony, to hear the young people. For this church to be what it really should be, each and every one of us needs to be obedient unto God, put our faith and trust in God, because I want to read some scripture here to you. I've heard people say, and Daryl, I'm sure, can testify to this too. There's times here in this church you get up to preach, and when God's giving you the message, you just think, boy, this is going to be really something. And then you get here to preach, and it's just like you got your nose in a corner. It's hard to preach. And I've heard people say, well, those that's not doing right ain't going to hinder the message from going out. But I want to read some scripture to you here and let you know just what unbelief and disobedience on our part can do to the work of the Lord. Alright, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 53rd verse, and this is after Christ had given several parables here. And then here in the 53rd verse, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many, mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, if unbelief and rebellion, I guess you'd say, against the things of God, if that hindered what Christ could have accomplished, you and I today, when we come to church and we don't have a submissive heart, we don't come to church with a desire to hear and receive gladly what God sends our way, when God sends correction, you know, the Bible talks about it. He said, if you won't take the chastisement, then you're bastards and not son. When God sends a message that corrects me and you, and we rebel against it, not only do we need to realize we're just rebelling against that preacher, but we're rebelling against the things of God. And God looks down. We might say, oh, I'm still a Christian because I belong to the church or because of this or that. But God said, if you rebel, you're a bastard and not a son. You and I today, God wants each and every one of us to come yielding ourselves unto him, that we might find out what God's got for us, because he's sending something for each and every one of us. And we're only designed to hear the truth, and we all desire to see what God wants us to be. How many times have I heard it? I was a fear, but a message is all lies and things like that. Yeah, we have people that have been guilty here in this church. And look around, They're the children that are coming in, and their parent. That parent is going to always tell them the truth. You know, it's just like years and years ago. Oh, I was just a young person when I first heard this. A man and a woman that had taught their daughters about Santa Claus and all of this, Easter Bunny. And when the girls got up, teenagers, they didn't want to go to church. They didn't want nothing to do with God. And people went questioning them, trying to find out why. They said, well, we found out Santa Claus isn't real. Found out the Easter Bunny isn't real. How do we know God is? You and I today, if we tell a lie on one thing, we'll tell it on anything. That was one thing when I was growing up. I got in trouble in school because we was there talking a bunch of the kids. This was in the fifth grade. And they were talking about what Santa Claus was going to bring. I began to tell them, there ain't such a thing as Santa Claus. It's your parents that get to hear. And the teacher punished me. Ball me out right in front of everyone. And then I knew this teacher. I knew the church that she went to. And after class, she said, what you were saying was true. But their parents don't want them to know that. You realize the rest of that whole year. And I said to that teacher, she could tell me anything that I couldn't see. And I wouldn't believe it. Why? Because she lied to me. She stood there denied the truth. So why should I believe anything that she had to say? You and I today, if our parents ain't truthful in all things, we might think, well, maybe the things that we've heard about God's not true. Well, I can tell you, the Bible makes that plain. Every man a liar and God the truth. And you want to know something to put your faith and trust in, read the Word of God. Yeah, I heard a song this morning. It's talking about a person getting old, and I was sitting there in the chair listening to it and crying. Couldn't do like they used to. But when it come to the chorus, it said, I can still raise my hand and praise the Lord. I can still read His Word and know that God loves. You and I today, we need to take time out to read God's Word. Find out what He's saying. Don't listen to what I have to say and say, oh, that's going to be it. I had a woman that I worked with, and she told me, she's a Catholic. I began to tell her what her Bible said against what she believed. Even in a Catholic Bible, it says, call no man father. But she said, I began to tell her that. I said, why don't you read it? I don't need to read the Bible. I got the priest to tell me what I need to do. You and I today, I beg each and every one of you, when I preach, check it by the Word of God. That's what really counts. It's what God's Word says. And if I say something wrong, then come to me. It may be something unintentional, but don't believe a lie. Take the Word of God and put it first in your life. You and I, we want to see a revival here. We've got to get in condition that we can and not hinder the work of the Lord. You know, God's done so many miracles for me, and I want to stress this. I am nothing special. What God has done for me, He could do for anybody. A prayer of faith, He says, changes things. And my family's all here can testify. I've been in the hospital for a week and losing weight like crazy. I think I lost 20 pounds that week, maybe a little more than 20 pounds. And couldn't breathe without oxygen. And I wouldn't take and do what the doctor wanted to do, exploratory surgery. So I said, no, I'll go home and take whatever time God will give me and die then, but I'm not letting you do that. Well, a nurse got it set up to where I could come home with oxygen. That was on Thursday. Friday night, the family and some other Christian people come in and anointed me with oil and prayed for me. And then I didn't feel totally the way I wanted to, so I asked them to pray again, and they did. And within less than 10 minutes, I took the oxygen off and preached twice on Sunday. When I had a major blockage in the heart, right there in my yard, I prayed and asked God to touch me if he wasn't done with me, because I wasn't going to be able to make it to the house. There wasn't nobody else up on the farm at that time. Found out later, God put veins on my heart from the backside all the way around and bypassed that 100% blockage. You and I today, it's not that I'm special. I believe in a God that can change things. He said prayer changes things. You and I today, don't hinder the things of the Lord, but back it up with all that you've got, believing in God. Why? Because he's still a miracle worker, God. He's just waiting for me and you to do our part. You might say, oh, I'm old. I can't do this. I haven't been able to bow on my knees in a long time because it hurts so bad to get down. But that song this morning is said, oh, I thank God I can still get on my knees and pray. When I got down on my knees up here this morning and prayed, and it didn't hurt a bit, you and I today, God just waiting for us to put our faith and trust in him and believe. And he said, hey, you can believe, all things are possible. Me and you, if we'll get ourselves out of the way, this revival, we can see some of our loved ones getting right with God. I'm afraid there's too many times we're questioning the things of God instead of believing. You know, I could say, God can't do this, God can't do that. But the veins that was on my heart, they got the pictures the year before, they wasn't there. And after I prayed, within just a week or two, I was in taking pictures, and they was there. From the back side of my heart all the way around to the front side. You and I today, just believe God. Don't say, oh, that's impossible. That's where God likes to work. When the doctors can't, when everything else looks like it's impossible, that's where God likes to work. Me and you, look at it. What is it in my life that I could say when I went to the altar and asked God to forgive me of my sin? What is it that I could say I deserve to be forgiven? Not a thing. But God showed mercy and he gives us that because we come and we ask and we believe. Each and every one of us today, his arms is still reaching out. He's showing forth mercy and forgiveness to all those that will call upon him. But if we don't, you know, it's our fault. I come back to that. My uncle, Dad, when he was dating Mom, went there one evening. They were going to go out on a date, and he come in, and there was my Uncle Alan in the corner in the living room crying. And Dad walked over to him and said, Alan, what's wrong? Mac won't give me any gravy bread. He wanted a biscuit. Mom was in the kitchen doing cooking for supper. Dad went in there and asked her. He said, Mary, why can't Alan have some bread? She said, he can. He said, well, he's in the living room crying because he don't have any. She said, well, he ain't come and even ask. How many of us fret and cry over things and we never went and asked the one that's able to do that that's the impossible, and that's God. You and I today, if you don't receive, it's probably because you haven't asked. And just like I said earlier, you know, when we pray and we pray a prayer of faith, we will get an answer. Not always right when you pray it, but if you keep praying, you will get an answer. But I've got a lot of no's in my lifetime. And at the time, it didn't really want to go down just the way I wanted it to, because I was wanting yes. But as time passed, I realized no was what was best for me. Too many times we're unwilling to accept the answer that's no. So we reject God because He didn't give me what I wanted. A lot of times what we want is not what's best for us. And God's promised us He give us what we need. Not our desires, but what we need. He said, I'll supply your needs if we put our faith and trust in Him. Here, you look at that. Christ. He said, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You and I, just like the testimony of some of these young Christians here, they don't want to be a hindrance to the revival. That should be the prayer of every one of us. God reveal unto me what I need to do. You should want to be a stepping stone for your lost people, not a stumbling block. Be that they can look at you and see really what a Christian is. You know, we was sort of studying that in Sunday school. You and I, the life we live will speak more than any words we could ever say. The places we go will reveal more about us than what we're willing to say ourselves. And if we're going to places, it's not becoming a Christian. We're handling talk, not becoming a Christian. Or we're standing around listening to those that is speaking things, it's not becoming a Christian. Then that's our testimony. And the world's looking at it. You know, I've mentioned this several times. I worked at Forbes Steel and Wire Corporation in Wilmington, Delaware. I had people there on the other machines because the machines is all in a row and you could look down it and you could see the people on the other machine, but I was on the number one machine. And I was an operator on it. And there I'd be singing, praying, tears running down my face, and happened to look up and see there'd be two or three on the machine looking over there at me laughing. And I'd just smile, wave at them, and go on, because you couldn't hear. The machines made so much noise. They couldn't hear what I was saying. One night, one of the men come, and he said, Herb, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, would you pray for my daughter? He said, she's in the hospital, and they don't know what's wrong with her. He said, I haven't seen her smile in weeks. Could you pray for her? I said, sure. That made all those times that the devil tried to make me run and hide when God was blessing me there instead of being proud of those blessings. The devil tried to make me feel ashamed. Oh, when he come and said that made all those times so much well worth it. But then when he come back just two or three days later thanking me for praying, I said, I was seeing her laughing and smiling today. Thank you for praying for her. You and I today. God still changes things if we only pray. If we never ask, we're not going to receive anything. If we don't believe it, God can, then He's not going to work any miracles in our life. But if we believe, He said all things are possible, and He's ready to hear and answer our prayers. While we get some song to sing, it's your choice today whether you want to live a Spirit-filled life or not. And I, no matter what lie the devil's telling you, you either have a spirit-filled life or you're really not a Christian. You're just a church member. If you don't have that changed you from who you were, you know, when I got right with the Lord, I had to go that very Sunday afternoon and break plans with my best friends and stuff that we had for the next week, because the next week I was taking my car to the race, and I was going to race, and I was going to get drunk for the first time in my life. And when I come up off that altar before I ever left the church, God whispered in my ear, "Herb, you would have died next weekend." I was 19 then. I'm 78. Getting ready to turn 79 in August. That's a long life he's added to me, wasn't it? Just because I was willing to bow, recognize I needed God. But all those good friends that I went and broke old plans with, they dropped me as a hot potato, man. They never had nothing more to do with me after that. But I found some friends in church that stuck by me. You and I today, Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter what hour, the day or night, when you need him, he's there. He's able to hear and to answer. While we sing, if you want that, be willing to pay the price, and that means surrendering old self. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. You and I today, God stands ready to give us the sincere desires of our heart. And if you want to be a light to your loved ones, you can be. We were studying there in Sunday school about a light. You and I, you know, each one of us, if we're a born-again Christian, we should be shining forth the light of God. You know, I was out here a few days ago when the moon was full real early of a morning. You could see around just like daylight. And yet the moon has no light within itself. It's just reflecting the sun. The light from the sun reflecting off of it makes it so bright. You and I, we have no light of ourselves. But if we're a born-again Christian, we have Christ's light shining in us. And wherever we go in the world, they ought to be able to see that light. That's what will reach them, is that light of God shining through me and you. Anyone got a word, anything on your heart, real quick before we close?